Sefer Avadiyah. Sefer Avadiyah is one perek long, the only book in Tanakh to be one perek long. And as we begin Sefer Avadiyah, we'll notice in the first pasuk, once again, similar to Yoel, like we've seen, there is no introduction given to the time period of the Avadiyah. As such, we don't know exactly who he was, we don't know when he was prophesizing, and as such, there's a lot of opinions to what he was referring to. The primary suspect for who Avadiyah is, given by Chazal and taken up by many of the Rishonim, is that Avadiyah is the same Avadiyah we find in Melachim Aleph Perek Yud Ha, in the time of Ahab and Eliyahu. There's an Avadiyah who is called Asher Al Habayit, a minister in the kingdom of Ahab, perhaps a minister of Ahab's house. And we find that the pasuk says about him, Avadiyah haya yiret Hashem me'od. He was very fearful of God. And we know that he saved 100 of the Nevi'im from being slaughtered by Yizevel, the wife of Ahab. Thus, Chazal point to him. Another possibility is that Avadiyah refers to Avadiyah, who we see in Divrei Hayamim Be'. Where we find a minister named Avadiyah, seen by the king of Yehuda, Yehoshaphat, to go teach Torah throughout the kingdom. Thus, it would seem as well this has a possibility of being the Avadiyah who the Sefer is named after. Ibn Ezra contends these opinions and says, if the Avadiyah in the days of Ahav was really the Navi over here who we have Sefer Avadiyah from, the Pasuk would have said about him, he was a Navi. A Navi is a much greater level than someone being simply Yiret Hashem, fearful of God. A Navi is the ultimate level of closeness to God. And thus, if he was really a Navi, the Pasuk would not have left that out and chosen instead to say Yiret Hashem. Others contend on Ibn Ezra that it is possible that perhaps he only got the Nivuah after the events recorded in Melachim. Perhaps because of the events recorded in Melachim, he got Nivuah. And thus, at the time of the story, the Pasuk could not say about him that he was a Navi. Academics and others want to say that the Sefer of Avadiyah was written slightly after the Churban of the Bayit Rishon. The reason for doing so is that several Pesukim in the middle of the book seem to indicate that Avadiyah experienced the Churban HaBayit. As we'll see in those Pesukim, it sounds like Avadiyah is talking to those who came in and destroyed the Beit HaMikdash. Of course, one can also simply understand that those Pesukim were said B'derech Nevuah. Finally, the last introductory point, the Sefer Avadiyah is rallied against Edom, the nation of Edom. And there are several opinions as to why that is. Chazal seemed to understand Edom as being Rome. Mahut Rome comes from the descendants of Bnei Edom. As such, this was a nevuah against the people who destroyed the second Beit HaMikdash, against the enemies of the Jews, the prime enemies from the time of the Churban onward, subjugated under European influence and the European world powers. Ibn Ezra, once again, contends with that opinion and says that Edom here refers to actually the nation of Edom in the times of the first Beit HaMikdash, when the nation still existed in their original settlements and were mortal enemies of the Jewish nations. Finally, there are many opinions in the Rishonim about various parts of Sefer Avadiyah, what exactly he's referring to. Is it referring to the actions of Edom in biblical times? Is it referring to the actions of the Romans as they persecuted the Jews in the second Beit HaMikdash period? Perhaps, as some want to say, it is talking about at the end of the days, as the Romans persecuted the Jews nearer towards the end of the exile of the Jewish nation. Finally, we do know that Edom is specifically mentioned many times throughout the Mikra as being a prime enemy of Israel, perhaps because of Edom's nature as descendants of Esav, Yaakov's brother, and thus their betrayal and fighting of Israel is all the more greater because of the fact that they are brothers, and yet they still choose to fight so vehemently against Israel. This nature of Esav and Yaakov being brothers makes the prophecy of Edom not just a prophecy against a particular nation, but against all enemies of Bnei Israel, epitomized by the treachery of Edom, our very brothers who turned against us and became our mortal enemies. Regardless of the time period and exact intentions of the Navi Avadiyah, what is clear is that Sefer Avadiyah was meant as a book that inspired hope in Bnei Israel, that inspired an understanding that at the end of the days, divine justice will be rendered. We see the word Yom Hashem, that day of divine justice, several times in Sefer Avadiyah. And the point here is that While true, it might be referring to past events, it might be referring to future events. What the Sefer Avodah is teaching us is that at the end of the day, Hashem will come, render divine and perfect justice on all those who live at the time. And finally, we have a book expressing that hope and that belief that at the end of the day, Hashem will be the ultimate decider of everything. Pasuk Aleph. Chazon Avodah, Ko Amar Adonai Elohim Le'edom. Shemua Shamanu Me'et Adonai V'tzir Bagoyim Shulach. Kumu V'nakuma Aleha L'milchama. The vision of Avodah. Thus said Hashem, the Lord, concerning Edom. A message we have heard from God, and a messenger has been sent among the nations. Arise, and go rise up against her to war. Sefer Avodah begins with the proclamation that a message has been sent out among the nations to go up and fight against Edom. Shemua Shemano Me'et Hashem, we have heard a message from God, can be interpreted two ways. The Radak and others explain that the nations themselves will say, we heard a message from God. Others, including the Abarbanel, explain, we have heard the Nevi'im have all heard a message from God, sending it to the rest of the people. Abarbanel points out that indeed 9 different prophets have prophesied about Edom. So it is a very common theme in prophecy to prophesy against the destruction and downfall that will happen to the kingdom of Edom. Pasuk Bet. Hine katon etaticha bagoyim. Bezui ata meod. Behold, I have made you small amongst the nations. You are very insignificant. Here the Navi talks about Edom and says, basically, you're nothing. There are various ways to understand this pasuk. Some commentators, amongst them the Abarbanel, understand this in the beginning of their kingdom, before they conquered and grew and became a powerful kingdom. Other understands this at the tail end of their kingdom, when finally they're falling apart and not considered amongst the powers of the world. According to the Chachamim in the Talmud, there are Dureshish Pasuk to be interpreted even at the height of their power. At the top of the kingdom of Edom in their golden age, they're still insignificant compared to the powers of the nation. This interpretation is particularly bold considering that Chachamim were understanding Edom here to mean the Romans, obviously one of the powerful nations of the world, and yet here the Pasuk is saying, in the grand scheme of things, you're nothing. Pasuk Gimel. Zedon libecha hisiecha shocheni b'chagve selah mirom shivto, omer b'libo mi yorideni aretz. The wickedness of your heart has misled you, one that dwells in the clefts of the rock, the one with dwellings on high, who says in his heart, who shall bring me down to the earth? Here a particular trait of Edom is called out upon, the trait of Ga'ava, pride. Edom said, who can bring me down? I have my fortresses, I have my natural isolations, my barriers, and no one can touch me. It's interesting to note that the territory of Edom was indeed in present-day Jordan, where we know, for example, the city of Petra, heavily fortified by natural rock formations and by very impenetrable cities. According to Chazal and others who understand this to be talking about present-day Rome and the European nations, then this is Pasuk is understood as more metaphorically referring to their dwellings, being as they don't actually dwell in the same place anymore. Pasuk Dalid. Im tagbia kanesher v'im ben kochavim sim kinecha misham uridecha ne'um Adonai. Even if you raise up your nest like that of an eagle, and even if amongst the stars you place your nest, from there I shall take you down, the word of God. No matter how high and how secure you think you are, Edom, I will take you down. We translated Nesher here as eagle, but amongst many modern investigators and commentators, it seems to be that Nesher in the Tanakh refers to the griffin vulture, one of an extremely powerful bird of prey found in Israel. What's interesting also is the Pasuk here uses this Nesher, this magnificent bird, to refer to Edom. We know the legions of Rome used to walk around with their symbol being an eagle or a bird of prey. And thus, if we choose to interpret Avodah as having a later date, perhaps around the time of the Churban HaBayit, then the Navi and the people would definitely have seen this bird, perhaps indicating why he chose to mention Edom in this light, in light of this bird. Pasuk Hei. Im genavim ba'ol lecha, im shodadei laila, ech nidmeta, halo yigdavu dayam, im botzurim ba'olach, halo yashiru alelot. If thieves have come to you, if bandits of the night, how have you been cut off? Would they not only steal for their own needs? If grape gatherers have come to you, would they not leave over gleanings? Gleanings here referring to the leftover of a harvest after the harvesters have gone through it. And the point of this pasuk is to say, how is it possible that you become so desolate? At the end, when Edom is left desolate, or perhaps in the time of the Tanakh, at times when Edom was plundered, how is it possible, the people who see it will say, that Edom has been left with nothing? Even thieves who come leave over something. Pasuk Vav. Ech nechpesu asav nivro matzpunav. How asav has been searched, his hidden places revealed. Here the pasuk once again exclaims how sheer and utter the destruction is on asav. It's interesting to note that these first six pesukim, pesuk aleph to vav, have extremely similar language to Yirmiyahu pedik mem tet, from about Pasuk 9 through 16, in which many of almost the same exact phrases are used to describe the downfall of Edom. There are three main options we have over here to explain what's happening. Either Ovadiah used references from Yirmiyahu, Yirmiyahu used references from Ovadiahu, or perhaps they were both receiving a reference from a similar earlier point at which we don't have in our Tanakh. The Abarbanel points out that Nevi'im did not receive the Nevuah word by word from the mouth of God like Moshe did. Only Moshe received peh el peh, the exact wording of the Nevuah from God. The Torah is thus essentially the exact word of God word for word. However, the other Nevi'im saw visions perhaps or dreams and said the Nevuah in their own way. Thus they had their own expression, human interaction was placed in the Nevuah itself. Therefore, it may very well be that different Nevi'im have the same message in slightly different words because perhaps they expressed it slightly differently. Pasuk Zayin. Ad ha-gevul shilchucha kol anshe beritecha hesi'ucha yachlu lecha anshe shilomecha lachmecha yasimu mazor tachtecha en tevuna bo. Until the border they escorted you, all the people of your covenant. They misled you and prevailed over you, men who are at peace with you. The ones who eat your bread place the wound beneath you. There is no understanding in Esav. Much the same way that any powerful nation that all of a sudden finds itself in the downfall, finds many of its friends deserting him, so too Esav found many of his allies betraying him and ultimately deserting him. There are several ways to understand this pasuk. Ad ha-gvul shilchucha, they send you until the border, escorting you to war, but then at the last moment turned away and left you alone. Rashi understands it like that. Radak understands that they escorted you until the border as you were being held captive by their enemies, and reality assisted your enemies to capture you themselves. Finally, lachmecha yasimu mazor tachtecha, those who eat your bread placed a wound under you, meaning instead of the bread, people who are at peace with you, instead of being at peace with you, under you in the place of friendship, in the place where you were least expecting it, placed a wound. As to what exactly this pasuk is referring to, obviously depending on the time period you place of Adyah, opinions differ. Some people understand this as referring to the end of days. Others understand this to the exile of Edom from their original place in Har Seir. The Arabs in the 6th century BCE moved up from the south into the territory of the Edom, and perhaps referring to that, that's for those who ascribe to Ovadiah later date. Those who ascribe to Ovadiah an earlier date, and which he would not have seen the beginnings of that process, say, can be referring to the attack on Edom by Ammon and Moab during the time of Yehoshaphat, which would fit nicely to those who hold Ovadiah prophesized at that time period. Pasuk Chet. Halo bayom hahu ne'om Adonai, v'ha'avadati hachamim me'edom, u'tfuna me'har esav. Behold, on that day, the word of God, I will destroy wise men from Edom and understanding from Har Esav. Har Esav being the place where Edom's original kingdom was. Even those who understand previous Pesukim as talking about during the times of Yehoshaphat, perhaps, or during the 6th century BC, probably understand this Pasuk as referring to finally the end of days and saying ultimately wise men and understanding will be destroyed from Harisav. Edom's progress, its stature as a nation leading the world in wisdom, progressing the fate of humanity, shall be no more. It won't have anything of value left within it. Pasuk Te, V'chatu Giboreha Teman, V'ma'an Yikaret Ish Maharisav Mikatel. And your mighty ones from the south will be broken, resulting in the annihilation of all the men from Harisav from slaughter. We explain Teman here, meaning the south. Teman can also be referring to a specific region in Malchut Edom, or perhaps referring to Malchut Edom in itself as an alternative name to Edom. The next few Pesukim, the Navi explains the reason for this fate is falling on Edom. Pesuk Yud, Nechamas achicha Yaakov techasecha busha v'nichrat le'olam. For the violence to your brother Yaakov, you shall be enveloped in shame, and you shall be cut off forever. Because of this violence that you've done, Yaakov, that's why all the shameful things are happening to you. Again, the various Mefarshim understand this as talking about different times in the history of Edom. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Be'yom amodcha mineged, be'yom shevot zarim chelo, v'nuchrim ba'u she'arav, ha'al Yerushalayim yedu goral, gam ata ke'achad mehem. On the day you stood from afar, on the day that strangers came and captured his wealth, and foreigners came into the gates, and on Yerushalayim they placed a raffle. You too were like one of them. Esav, you were, everything terrible was happening to the Jewish people. You joined in on the fray. You too went to collect the loot, went to share in the spoils, went to destroy Yerushalayim as well. This pasuk is a major indicator for those who hold that the Sefer Avodah was talking about after the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash. Others contend that indeed this pasuk does not necessarily indicate that it's after the Beit HaMikdash. We know Yerushalayim was attacked many times throughout Sefer Melachim, and thus this pasuk can be talking about one of those times, not necessarily the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash by the Babylonians. The next few pasukim are exclamations from the Navi telling Bnei Edom what they should have done. Ve'al pasuk yidbe, ve'al tere b'yom achicha b'yom nochro, ve'al tismach v'nei Yehuda b'yom oldam, ve'al tagdel picha b'yom tzara. And don't look upon the day of your brother, the day of his estrangement. And don't be happy for b'nei Yehuda on the day they are destroyed. And don't open your mouth wide on the day of their distress. You, Esav, more than anyone, should feel the pain of Bnei Yisrael, because you are, after all, their brother. Not only did you not come to their aid, you, in fact, were happy at their misfortune. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Al tavo b'shar ani b'yom edam, al tere gam ata b'ra'ato b'yom edo, v'al tishnachna b'chelo b'yom edo. Don't come in the gates of my people on the day of their calamity, and don't gaze also you on his badness on the day of his calamity. And don't send your hand in their wealth on the day of his calamity. This pasuk expounds on pasuk Yud Bet. In pasuk Yud Bet, they didn't go and help, they just watched from afar. Here the Navi is saying, you even went as so far as to go in and assist in the destruction of Yerushalayim. And finally, pasuk Yud Dalet, Ve'al ta'amon al haperek la'achrit et pilitav, Ve'al tasker siridav b'yom tzarah. Don't stand on the crossroads to cut off his escapees, and don't deliver his survivors on the day of his misfortune. Bnei Esav went so far as not only to go and collect the wealth and plunder Yerushalayim, even surrendering those fugitives that escaped, they surrendered them into the hands of the enemies, something which they didn't even gain from. Finally, the final retribution is spoken about from now to the end of the Perek. Pasuk Tevav. Ki karov yom Adonai al kol hagoyim, ka'asher asita ya'aseh lach, gemulecha yashuv beroshecha. For the day of God is near upon all the nations, just as you have done shall be done to you. Your deeds he shall return upon your head. This Yom Hashem, this day of God, which we've seen several times, as a day of judgment is coming. Pesuk Tet Zayin. Ki ka'asher shetitem al har kodshi, yishtu kol ha'goyim tamid, v'shatu v'la'u v'hayu k'lo hayu. For just as you have drank on my holy mountain, all the goyim shall drink forever, and they shall drink and swallow, and they shall be as if they never were. There are two ways to understand this pasuk. The first option, as explained by the Dak and others, just as you, Edom, celebrated with wine and drink upon the mountains of Yerushalayim, so too shall you drink the cup of punishment, shall you drink the wine, the wrath of God, upon that same mountain forever. Alternatively, so too you, Israel, have drunk the cup of punishment upon the mountains of Yerushalayim, so too all the nations shall also drink from that same cup. It's clear here that this nevuah is not just directed at Edom, as we mentioned in the beginning of the introduction, rather upon all the nations, not just the nation of Edom. Pasuk Yud Zayin. U'behar Tzion tiyeh pileteh, v'haya kodesh, v'yarashu bet Yaakov et morashehem. And on the mountain of Zion there will be a salvation, and it shall be holy, and the house of Yaakov shall inherit their inheritance. This pasuk, referring according to most of the Mefarshim to the days of the Mashiach, references the returning of Bnei Israel to the land. Pasuk Yudchet, Vaya Beit Yaakov Esh, Beit Yosef Lehava, Beit Esav Lekash, V'dalekhu Bahem V'achalum, V'lo Yeh Sari Lebeit Esav Ki Adonai Deber. And the house of Yaakov will be like fire, and the house of Yosef like a flame, and the house of Esav like straw, and they will ignite them and consume them, and there shall not be a survivor for the house of Esav, for God has spoken. Beit Yaakov and Beit Yosef are both mentioned here. Perhaps they're referring to two different names for the nation of Israel. Chachamim in the Gemara explained that Beit Yaakov is referring to the southern kingdom of Yehuda, and Beit Yosef referring to the northern kingdom of the Aseret Shvatim, referencing the return of the Aseret Shvatim that were placed into the Gula by Melech HaBashur. Pasuk Yudet. V'yarashu ha-negev et ha-resav ha-shefela et ha-pilishtim V'yarashu et sedeh Ephraim ve et sedeh Shomron u'binyamin et ha-gilad. And they shall inherit the south, the heart of Esav, and the lowlands, the Pilishtim. And they shall inherit the field of Ephraim and the field of Shomron, and Binyamin shall inherit the Gilad. The Pasuk declares a complete reconquering of Eretz Israel, and finally Bnei Israel will have control over all the various areas of Eretz Israel. Pesukaf, the galut hachel hazeh livnei Israel asher kna'anim ad Tzarfat v'galut Yerushalayim asher b'sfarad yirshu et areh ha-negev. And this exiled host of Bnei Israel who are amongst the Kna'anim in Tzarfat and the exile of Yerushalayim which is in Sfarad will inherit the cities of the south. This interpretation follows Rashi, who understands this pasuk as foretelling the return of the Aseret Shvatim, like Chachamim understood Beit Yaakov and Beit Yosef in Pasuk Yudchet. Others understand this not to referring to the people exiled in those various nations, but rather that Bnei Israel will reconquer these nations from amongst the Geim, and not necessarily dealing with people who are exiled in those specific places. Finally, Pasuk Kaf Aleph, and Savior shall ascend upon Har Tzion to judge the heart of Esav, and to God alone will be kingship. The Saviors here can be interpreted in many different ways. The classical interpretation is referring to the Mashiach and various men who will be with him. The Chazal and Sukkah indicate who the Saviors will be who will walk with Mashiach. Others interpret judges from the other nations will go up and destroy Har Esav. Har Esav will be destroyed by this ultimate final battle, perhaps referencing Gog and Magog. Yet others interpret this to referring to the Saviors, the people who we mentioned in the last pasuk, who will come from various exiled lands and return and save the people of Bnei Israel. What is clear, however, is at the end of the day, this nevuah gives us the final hope, Vayitav Adonai HaMelucha, what we pray for every day, Hashiva Shatenu Kuvari Shuna, that God alone will be the judge of the world and we will have no other foreign ruler upon us but the sovereignty of God.